Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's Dentistry Unmasked. I'm Dr. Pam Maragliano-Muniz, and with me, as always, my favorite...
Hey, I get to be your favorite today. I like it. Dr. David Rice with Dentistry IQ. We have an awesome guest today, Pam. We're going to talk about some hard things in dentistry, aren't we?
We are, and I feel like this transcends into a lot of different aspects of our life. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to use a strong word. I'm going to use the word hate. I hate buying things for more money than I need to. I feel like it's so frustrating if, you know, you buy something and you're like, all right, cool, I got this, whether it's something you want to buy or something you have to buy. And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe you look somewhere else and it's cheaper. And so I think that that is one of the most frustrating things just as a general consumer, but also as a dental practice owner. So this week we have Yasin Abek with us. Yasin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's just jump right into it. So tell us a little bit about you and your impact on, you know, for us as dental practice owners in the industry.
Yeah, so I'll talk about impact first. In short, we tend to save practice owners a lot of money. We do that because we are data and tech nerds. So we look at things a bit differently and we leverage that lens to drive prices down on equipment quite a bit. It is not uncommon or unheard of for us to, within a week of working with a startup practice, for example, to save them $15,000 to $45,000 on equipment.
Big number. So, you know, I know one of the things we've talked about offline too is the number matters, but also getting the right equipment and technology. There are levels that are out there that maybe not all dentists people who are purchasing maybe infrequently don't necessarily know about. So what's that side of it all?
You know, so one of the things that we learned when we went into dentistry was that, yes, there is potentially a pricing issue. And that has a lot to do with, you don't know what the prices of a lot of this equipment should be. It's not like you buy these things every day. It's not like, you know, you're not going CBCT shopping or dental chair shopping every week or every month. You do them at certain milestones. When you're starting up a practice, when you're expanding, when you're purchasing a practice, when you're renovating, those things don't happen on a monthly basis. They don't even happen on a yearly basis. And most practice owners aren't going through that process very often, which means that what we found is it's not just not knowing what the prices of all this equipment is or should be, but it's also what equipment should I be buying? And when you think of where practice owners typically go to find out what equipment they should buy, the options are quite limited. And you, as a practice owner, you're talking to reps to hopefully guide you in the right direction. But what we've found, and this is backed by data, is that most quotes that we see don't necessarily reflect what the practice owner is asking for and needing to buy. So there's a suitability concern that we've been able to identify using data. Some, you know, if we were talking about cars and you talk about how, you know, you tell the salesperson, I have kids, I need a back seat that I don't mind getting messy. I need something that is, you know, I'm okay with it not looking the prettiest. I need it to be functional. You wouldn't expect somebody to come back and say, well, you should take a look at the sports car. I have a nice Corvette for you. You would expect them to potentially say, I have a Toyota or a Honda, nice family car. That makes sense. That's what we mean by suitability. And we notice very often that Corvettes and the Mercedes equivalent type of equipment tends to be promoted to practice owners to buy, even when we find them to be potentially unsuitable. And that's recognized by AI. That's not me personally. That's the technology that we've built to identify when there's a potential mismatch.
It's interesting because you mentioned these milestones when you need to make these purchases. And the milestones that you mentioned and maybe other milestones that might be out there that would prompt somebody to make a purchase like this, none of those milestones are ever a point where you're like, I have so much money that I don't care what I spend on this piece of equipment or this chair or whatever. And so I think that especially for us as solo practitioners or small group practices, really that is extremely impactful. So how does it work? Is it like you work with us directly as a person? Is it a software? Like, how do we shop around and empower ourselves to get the proper price for what we're buying?
Great question. It's a mix of things. I can tell you how GroupUps works. The first step is, so we have something called a wish list on our website. if you go to groupups.com and click on the wish list button, if you're on mobile, it's just in the menu. And if you fill that out, it takes a minute. You're essentially filling out a few things that we need to get rolling on which process, which funnel to guide you through. In the wish list, it'll ask you what your timeline is, why you're looking for this equipment, talks to you potentially, it asks you about budget. It asks you about what type of equipment you need. A lot of times, this is when we can determine if somebody is starting up a practice. We tend to identify which milestone they're at. If it's a startup practice and they are looking for a lot of stuff, usually that's when they are first time doing this, don't know what the pricing should be. They don't necessarily know what they should buy. For that, we'll probably want to have a 15-minute call just to make sure that everything that they've given us in terms of information makes sense and that we can dig deeper. In that call, we might guide you through, and people love this. We guide them through AI. And it's a 5-minute process, even for something like a CBCT or for dental chairs or for an overall startup practice. We will actually walk you through the AI. You have a conversation with the AI, and within 5 minutes, it actually suggests to you, based on all of your inputs, based on only the based on only the things that you've told it, and then referencing that information with our product database, which is robust and is not limited to what we can sell because we don't sell anything. It's only limited by whatever is actually available. It then matches you up with the things that are most likely a fit. And the types of questions that the AI asks are things that we've learned over sitting in these conversations, literally dozens to hundreds of times. It'll ask you things that don't sound like dental questions. For example, we talked about cars earlier. If you were buying a car instead of building a practice, what kind of car are you buying? That helps a lot. If you're buying a CBCT, you could be optimizing for a lot of things, but when push comes to shove and we force you to select 2 out of 5 options that you're optimizing for, and you don't have a human on the other side that is nudging you in the other direction, it forces you to really take a hard look and say, you know what, the things I'm optimizing for are cost and image quality, not necessarily the warranty, not necessarily the ease of use. There's different things that you could be optimizing for. And we've done a pretty good job with it to narrow down and get you to the 3 or 4 options in the universe of options that likely make the most sense for you. So we leverage AI to do that. And we do that for the large equipment. So that's what the experience might look like for a startup practice.
So I like that. Is it the AI side or is it that one-on-one call side in this first practice, you know, this startup scenario? Does it account for like the question of, I know you want this car today, but will you have 2 or 3 more children tomorrow? Or will these kids be growing up in 2 years and then maybe you're sort of not ready for the Ferrari, but maybe the Toyota isn't it anymore? I mean, I've always looked at technology and equipment sort of from the lens of shoes for kids. And I don't want to buy something that's too big and trip over it and spend too much money. But I also don't want necessarily to buy something that fits me right now, that if I'm going to be adding procedures to the mix or growing my team, that I could outgrow too quickly. So is that on the AI side, the human side? Is it a combination?
It's on the AI side, believe it or not.
Awesome.
The AI will actually understand to ask you things. And by the way, it's interactive. So you can actually ask it. One of the questions might say, it asks you about desired field of view. And it asks you about desired field of view for future procedures, by the way. And if you're unsure about what field of view you need, because again, this isn't a car where you can see hundreds of them a day. It's a CBCT that you're going to buy very frequently and you don't see every day. So it knows that people might not know the answer to what field of view they should consider. So it says, if you're unsure, ask me about what field of view might make sense. And by that point, you've already told it what your specialties or specific procedures you'll perform, whether or not you need a SEF, and what that field of view, well, and based on the inputs there, it'll know what field of view is most likely for you. And it'll guide you and say, based on the procedures that you've given, a medium field of view is appropriate. And based on your desire to see this part and that part, you're likely to need X, Y, and Z. So believe it or not, it's actually the AI.
That's really cool.
So I'm a little old, and so I'm just going to throw it out there. So right now, if a dentist is going to buy a piece of equipment, they're probably going to call their local rep. And so I would imagine that the recommendations of that local rep are, you know, globally limited, right? They're going to be limited to what they can offer and what they've kind of decided for you. Or a lot of us, I know it's crazy, but we do, we call up our friends and we're like, hey, so I need to get a CBCT. What do you like? What do you think is good? If you like it, then I'll like it. How much more does this technology expand our horizons and how accurate is it?
The fact that friends are a source that you go to means that you're probably not trusting what would otherwise should be a trusted source of this information, right? Because where else do you go? It's not like these prices are listed anywhere. You don't necessarily know what equipment is right for you. And the next best thing you could do is, well, what do my friends do? I trust them. They are trust centers. That's who you want to take the information from. And the AI, actually, the first thing that we talk about in the AI, the first thing that we say is, hi, I can help you narrow down CBCT options for you without selling to you. I'll ask you questions to guide us. You can ask me questions too. And it takes a brand neutral approach because, again, we don't get paid by manufacturers. It takes a brand neutral approach, and it's the only product out there that lets you get third-party validation of what you should or shouldn't be going for. And as far as it being accurate, let's stick to the CBCTs for a moment. It doesn't say this is what you should buy. It says, based on everything you've given us, here are three options that where you should probably start demoing. It's not a recommendation engine. It is AI, and it talks to our database of information. And that means it's matching what you're saying with what matches in the product database. So as far as accuracy goes, it's not intended to make a recommendation that's 100% the exact thing that you should go for. It's intended to help you narrow down your options and not narrow it down by what a salesperson is limited to being able to sell. It's intended to narrow down based off of just the inputs that you've given. So the suitability is for the practice owner.
I like that you talk about price, but also appropriateness and suitability as you said it. So this is so interesting. And I think that this is a lot for people to wrap their heads around. What if, say, for example, you know, my friend recommends this one. Can I look up that specific item on your website as well? Or you sort of start from the questions and it kind of lays it out there for you?
We start from the questions and then we produce the document for you. Our team, we don't have dental backgrounds. We're building this as a tech company. We're building this as, like I said before, we are data and tech nerds. You don't want us near the units that we're even talking about. You don't want me near anybody's teeth, but you do want us building technology that can actually benefit independently owned businesses. That's what we are building. It's, to us, it's actually a supply chain product. And one of the biggest things that we do is align the demand of different buyers with each other and leverage that demand in real time. So not like a GPO where things are pre-negotiated and you go to a seller and you say, we have 2,000 members, can we get a discount? No, the far more leverage comes from us having knowledge and insight into what people are intending to buy. So when you go to that wish list that I talked about earlier, and we're collecting information on when do you need these things by, what is your timeline? We are also aligning that with others that have filled out the wish list. And then we can know what our actual in real time leverage is on a monthly basis to drive down prices and get manufacturers excited and distributors excited to bid on the opportunity to win all of it. So that's kind of what we do, but we don't have dental backgrounds. Like I said, it's a supply chain product, it's a tech product, it's a data product. We're just leveraging data and tech that's out there, and we're coupling it with trends in business. And what I mean by trends in business is the majority business owner today, and this is, take a step away from dental for a moment, the typical business owner profile of an independently owned business in the US is a boomer, somebody in the boomer generation. As they retire, and this is rapidly happening, especially over the next 5 to 10 years, as those boomers retire, who are they selling it to? They're selling it to the younger generation. By 2030, for example, I'm a millennial. I'm going to be the old crowd of the majority of the workforce. 75% of the workforce will be millennials, Gen Z, or believe it or not, Gen Alpha, which probably scares some of the Gen Zers out there that when they hear that. But that's the truth. And they have far different buying patterns and behaviors than boomers. They don't want to go hang out with salespeople and go golfing on the weekends. They trust their own instincts over anything else. They're used to getting information online and being able to do the research themselves. So they don't trust or want to buy from reps, unfortunately. Or not unfortunate for us. We're leaning into that. But sales rep-led versus self-navigated purchases tend to yield lower quality purchase decisions. And I think the number is close to 85% of B2B buyers, meaning people that are buying on behalf of a business, prefer ordering or paying through digital commerce. The landscape is changing. That's what we are building into.
Fascinating. Wow. So I too am old. And how does, and I know that it does.
But usually, you guys, I know you guys are joking, but you know, neither of you are old, right?
Listen, we're part of the lost generation, the X's. They weren't even on your recipe.
You didn't even mention us. I know. I was like, what about us? And I was ready for you to be like, well, that's the new boomer. So I didn't even go there.
You're not the new boomer. Don't go there. Your purchasing behaviors are. So I am probably most impressed with your generation because the risk takers, the ones that had to and have to and continue to have to learn technology, even though they didn't grow up with it, is exactly your generation. And a lot of our clients are in your generation and they understand that the system is broken. But unlike the main difference between millennials, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha is that they don't necessarily know what is available to them out there, whereas it might be a little more intuitive to millennials and younger.
So how does the AI account for, say, quality control? Now, I mean, and again, some of this is subjective, but a lot of it objective. If we look at, I guess, the benefit of being in dentistry for 29 years, on the older side, is to say, I've watched manufacturers like do all the R&D, and yep, I'm going to pay more money for that R&D because I know if I buy, you know, Pam the chair, we have the same chairs in our practice, Pam and I. If I buy that chair, I will buy it once, and 30 years later, it will be a tank and a machine. It'll keep going, and I can reupholster it. But outside of that, that's all I'm going to do. Like, how does it account for like quality control? And it feels like there's, you know, there's newer players coming to the industry with lower price points, but I don't know that they have that R&D.
So there's lots of information out there on the internet, including ratings and reviews and consensus scores, social chatter about certain types of products. And over time, those are the types of things that will continue to be incorporated into the AI so that it can be considered. So there will be really robust algorithms that will determine what to and what not to prioritize in terms of reviews, because not every review is equal. But the AI could actually get smart enough where it actually knows what to filter through and can then say, most buyers that are like you are likely to see these products in this way. So we don't necessarily need to know what the R&D budget is. But what we do, and by the way, the AI might actually know what the R&D budgets have been, especially if these are public companies. So there are
sure.
Some publicly traded companies with that information public. But the as far as the quality goes, again, it's not, it doesn't narrow down to this is exactly what you should get. But it does get pretty darn close to things that it's a very high hit rate with doctors ending up buying one of the options that are presented, because they saw them as great starting points in their product discovery journey.
That makes sense.
You mentioned chairs and CBCT. Do you have a whole array of equipment that we can search for on your site, or is it kind of limited to a few things?
So because we don't sell anything, we can help with anything. As long as it's within things that are really over like a certain dollar amount, think on the low end, maybe like a soft tissue laser. And we're probably doing a soft tissue laser as a one-off, and we're waiting for enough volume and momentum that enough people want soft tissue lasers where in March, we can actually execute on a group buy. Otherwise, we're just going to go with our relationship and trim down that pricing. So laser on the small end, sensors. Those are some of the smaller items that we might work on. Autoclaves are common for us. Handhelds we do a lot of. So it's really things that are that and bigger, with a desire eventually to get into other things and to perhaps smaller things. But at the moment, with where our current knowledge base is, we're talking about new items of larger equipment.
How do you make your money? Because I feel like you're saving us money. I don't know if the distributors love you guys or don't love you guys. I'm not sure about that at this moment. How does that work for you guys as a business model?
Yeah. So when we were looking into this industry, can I tell you about why we started this company and how we got dental?
Sure.
So, yeah. I sold my last company 2.5 years ago. It was in sports tech. I'm not a sports nut. I happen to be wearing my Charlotte Hornets hat today. But it's not like I'm a sports nut. I'm, again, technologist. I love data. We built an arbitrage tool. It just happened to be in the sports market. Before that, though, I built a platform for independently owned restaurants. You'll see a common theme here. It was in the supply chain. And we gave free things to independently owned restaurants because their margins are razor thin. In that industry, it made sense for us to generate revenue from advertisers that would buy the packaging space. But the restaurants would get the stuff for free. Coffee cup sleeves, pizza boxes, packaged wet towelettes. Before that, I was in finance. I did 3 years at JP Morgan, 2 years at Morgan Stanley. But I grew up around small businesses. My father immigrated here. He graduated top of his class from the best engineering school in Turkey. And he never worked a day in his life as an engineer. He came here, he started peeling potatoes and washing dishes. And his father, believe it or not, was actually a traveling dentist in Turkey, when it was more of an apprenticeship model. He used to get, this is not a joke, he used to get paid sometimes with goats. So it's an interesting peek into the history of dentistry, at least in some of the rural areas that he would work in. But my background is in seeing my dad struggle to make his business compete with the big guys. So what we did was we worked at the businesses that we had. I'm the oldest of four boys. I worked at the lunch truck. I worked at the restaurant. I worked at the bread and pastry distribution company. All of my brothers did. From the time we had our permits, we were doing deliveries until 4 or 5 in the morning to some of our clients with bread and pastries. My desire with that first business and my desire with this one didn't have anything to do with dentistry. It had to do with the fact that everything was turning into Walmart and Starbucks. Main Street was going away. The American dream that my father pursued, I see it as at risk. And if we don't fix it, it's going to go away and it's no longer going to be attainable. So that's actually why we're building business. It's not to, I know it sounds crazy and altruistic, but it's to preserve the American dream. So when we were thinking about the pricing for this, we always knew that it needed to be aligned with people like my dad is how I think about it. So how do you do that? And in dentistry is even more interesting because nobody trusts the industry. You're a practitioner in the industry. You're clinically trained. You've taken on the responsibility of a business owner now, right? Which is completely different than anything you're clinically trained for. And now you're in the unknown and you don't know who to trust. It's why there is such a large community of dentists talking to each other about best practices, because you don't necessarily trust the industry itself to educate you. And you constantly feel like, Pam, you kicked off the call with like, don't you feel like you're kind of overpaying for things? There's this underlying, seems like distrust across the industry. We leaned into that and we made it so that we do not make money unless we save you money. So we stick to our word and we say, look, if we save you money and if you follow our process, you're going to save money. We will make 30% of whatever we save you, which is aligned with everybody. We don't get paid unless you make money. The risk is essentially zero. But it's the model that where I get to tell dentists that we work with, if we do talk to them, it's, look, I know you don't trust anybody in the industry. We're also brand new. We've been around for out of beta since this time last year, though we've already had over $25 million worth of equipment requests through the platform. We're new. So I tell them, don't trust us. Trust that we are a business that loves to make money. Now let me tell you how we make money. I'm a capitalist. I want to make money. We make money when we save you money. Now there's no misalignment. There's also no request from us asking people to blindly trust us. It's, we're going to get paid based on our performance. We're so confident in it. It's how we get paid. So that's how we decided we were going to go to market. And we find that it especially resonates in dentistry, where there is a common mistrust or distrust, I should say, of the industry. Let me know if I'm wrong, though.
You're not wrong. And I would think that, you know, if all of us can, if we all had such a strong why, how that would drive our businesses and our motivation forward. So we're running short on time. So Yasin, I want to thank you for that, but I'm just going to throw a little nugget out there. If I can ever take my Trio scanner and scan my foot and put it into some software where you can recommend an amazing shoe that I can walk around a trade show all day, I am 100% down for being your test dummy.
Understood. I might actually know somebody who could possibly help you with that.
Oh my gosh, don't play with me, Yasin. All right. Can you remind everybody about your site and where we can find you?
Yeah, it's called GroupUps, GROUPS.com. Sorry, I said my own website wrong. Drew Group, GROUPUPS.com. The easiest thing to take a look at is the wish list. I think that's probably the best starting point. But you'll see on the site, it's pretty straightforward what we do. You get the same equipment and you get better pricing.
Yeah, Yasin, this has been great. Pam, I learned a lot. I know I have a lot more to learn. But you're right. I feel like we have to find ways to innovate. We have to stay minimally with the times, if not get ahead of the times. And we Gen Xers are going to continue to do that. So thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us today and this week. Pam, it's great to see you. Yasin, it's been amazing. And until next week, thanks for hanging out at Dentistry Unmasked.
Thanks, everybody.
See you next time.
Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening to the show this week. And thanks to our guests and sponsors on this episode.
Please check out our social media at Dr. Pamela_Maragliano and at Dental Economics Official.
Or you can check me out at Ignite DDS or at Dr. David Rice.
And go to dentaleconomics.com to receive dental economics. You can choose to receive DE in print or digitally. And you can also get the details of our Principles of Practice Management Conference on our website.
If you have topics or guests or anything you'd like to talk about on the show, send us an email to dentistryunmaskedpodcast@gmail.com and we will do our very best to make it happen. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.